Morning to each one. Greet you in the name of the one who came to give us light. It's good to be here and study together this morning, think about heavenly things again. I noticed when we didn't sing all Christmas songs this morning, but I think we all know that Christmas is this week, and maybe we know that we've sung those quite a bit already and plan to again tonight. But I'd like to look at a message on the coming of Christ this morning. And I'd like to think about the lights of Christmas. The lights of Christmas, not necessarily Christmas lights, although that is one of the first things you see when Thanksgiving is hardly over, or isn't even over, and you see lots of Christmas lights, and you see lots of Christmas decorations, things, people getting things out. Seems like they're more excited about Christmas than they are about Thanksgiving. And they are pretty, and I'm not here this morning to say whether they're right or wrong. I did look into it already, and it seems like there may have been some traditions that may have come from Christians, and there's some of the traditions that came from pagans because of the shortening and lengthening of days over that time. I'm not sure what all it is, and I know that people are willing to sit for hours and hours to go through Lakemont Park over here to see all the Christmas lights. That boggles my mind. When you see several hundred cars lined up to go in, backed out on the 99, and why? Well, we're here to talk about Christmas lights this morning, and not the lights that distract us from the true light of Christmas. And it's my prayer this morning that the gift-giving and the lights, the decoration, the joy, the family gatherings, all these things that happen over this time of year would not take away from or dim the true meaning of Christmas. So I'd like to exalt that this morning. Return with me to Luke chapter 2. I'd like to just look at some of the different lights that came to us, the different displays of God's power that came this time of year. So we're going to focus on, first of all, the appearance of the angels to the shepherds, and then some of the other lights that we have here. Luke chapter 2, I'm just going to read the first 20 verses of this passage. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And this is the story of the glorious announcement to the shepherds. It's a beautiful story when you think about what took place. It's an amazing story. You think about the miracle that it was. There were several miracles that happened first here. And that one of these was the prophecies that were fulfilled, that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem when his parents weren't from Bethlehem at the time. But because of the taxing that was made, Joseph, being an honest person, went to pay his taxes. Everyone went to their own city, and this is where Jesus was born. Now you have this supernatural happening that was a confirmation that Jesus was indeed the Son of God, that he was the Messiah, that he was the long-anticipated baby that they were waiting for, this Redeemer. And you see the shepherds out there in the field. It was quiet. I'm sure the stars were shining, unless the moon was too bright, but starlight, quiet, peaceful, cool night air. Peaceful, but not supernatural. All of that. That may have been God inspiring at that time, or it may have been, they may have been carnal men out there on the hillside. I don't know. But suddenly, there was something supernatural that took place. The appearance of angels and a bright light, a blinding light, and an angel announcing peace and joy to us, to mankind, to humans. Have you ever been in a deep sleep? Someone came in and flipped the light on and said, "Get out of bed," or jerked you out of bed. That probably still pales in comparison to what happened here. Now you notice that the angels didn't come to tell the shepherds that there was a bear or a lion or some other animal of prey nearby that was going to pose danger to their flocks, coming to take away their livelihood. The angels didn't show up to tell the shepherds that one of them had a terminal illness that he was going to soon die from. That's not what the angel showed up to do. The angel didn't show up saying that here was a secret for all their material needs. They could quit being shepherds if they just learned this secret. They could make lots of money off of it. They were missing out on this little thing. Why am I saying this? So often these things consume our mind. Maybe not these exact things that I talked about, but these things consume our mind. It may have been things that they were thinking about. The shepherds, how are they going to provide for their family? And they were just wishing that everything would work out just right, that the little lambs wouldn't die, and that they would become more valuable. I don't know what all they were thinking about. But so often when we pray to God and we think about what we want him to bring to us, it's material things. It's material things. And these shepherds were excited for an answer, for a spiritual answer. These angels had something much more valuable than what would solve their physical dilemmas, give them peace in a physical way. This was a spiritual peace, a peace from the inside out. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there's a lot of that health and wealth gospel that's being promoted this morning. And I can't promise you that this morning, although I can promise you peace in your heart when you accept this light of Christmas. That's our message. That's our message to the world. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 1. I'd like to look at another miraculous light that we sing about, talk about over this time. Matthew 1, and let's read verses 18, and we'll read over into chapter 2. No, we don't have to start reading verse 18. We read that part of the story in Luke. Well, maybe we should. Let's just start at verse 21. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and she called his name Jesus. I wanted to read that part just because it talked about the incarnation of Christ, or the virgin birth, Jesus coming to being born of Mary when she was not yet known of man, but rather being conceived of the Holy Ghost. This is a miracle that God did. The reason we know that he is God is because of this miracle that happened. But starting now in verse 2, looking at the other miracle of the light. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what the time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, and went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down, and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And this is a story of the wise men noticing a strange star in the sky, and they began to follow it. They knew it was a star of promise. Something was happening. And they followed this star, and it seems like somewhere along the way they lost track of it. For some reason, they inquired of Herod where this king was. Thought certainly this king should know about this. And it was another answer to prophecy that was written in the Old Testament. Prophecy about a dilemma in Bethlehem, about pain surrounding the birth of Christ. So they followed this star. After they had inquired of Herod and went back out, they saw the star again, and it was moving, and it gave them great joy again. And they followed this light till it came and stood over where Jesus was. It took them right to the baby, Jesus. We could really get caught up in how could this be? What would be the natural explanation of a star that moves? Perhaps they were just following some comet or something that was faint in the sky. Perhaps it was something else. Let's not get sidetracked trying to explain what it may have been and miss the true meaning of the light of Christmas. We already talked about light this morning in the Sunday school, about one of the brothers mentioned bringing light into a room. You don't worry about the darkness because you worry about bringing the light in. And that's what this light was. This light came and illuminated mankind. And it divided the light from the darkness. It really did. It separated people of the light and people of the darkness. Jesus came as a way to the truth. He came as a guiding light to guide us to the truth. And the wise men followed it, and we need to follow that yet today. Jesus is the one that guides us to heaven. Sometimes we feel like we can ignore this light and go on with our life. But ignoring the light, it was rejection of the light. And the wise men, when they saw it, could have thought about the long journey that they would have possibly have to follow and the limited resources that they may have had. Doesn't seem like it because they brought gifts for Jesus. They may have brought everything that they had. When they brought these gifts, I don't know. But whatever it was worth it to them to follow this light and see what this supernatural secret was. We read more about this secret, turning back over to Luke chapter 2. Simeon talks about this, and he zeroes right in on it. He explains exactly what it is. While there was some question, possibly some question surrounding when the shepherds announced it, and suddenly they disappeared. And when the wise men followed it and lost it and found it again. But here Simeon explains exactly what it is. Luke chapter 2, we'll start where we left off earlier at verse 21. We'll read down to verse 35. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the rise and fall again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. Well, there wasn't any doubt in Simeon's mind who this baby was that was brought into the temple that day, and what his purpose was for mankind. And we know that this is true because Simeon was filled with the Holy Ghost, and God had revealed this to him. And it was another confirmation that this was Jesus, the Jesus that was coming to save people from their sins. And Jesus says here, and Simeon says here, that we're celebrating more than a baby. He was celebrating the one who came. He says in verse 31, prepared before the face of all people. All people. The Jews thought they were special people, God's chosen people. And they were special because God had used them to bring our Redeemer into the world. But Jesus was special because he was a light to lighten the Gentiles also. The Israelites, yes, but the Gentiles also. And Daniel talked about this when he talked about the stone that came down out of the mountain and smote the image that filled the whole earth. Thank you. received, grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And he's here for us. He's still here today, interceding for us before the throne of God. He took on different tasks throughout eternity past, throughout time, through eternity future. I don't know what all jobs that Jesus has or what all tasks he has, but it's all for the same purpose. It's all for our redemption. And that's why John could say with confidence farther down here, that no man has seen God. Only Jesus reveals God to us. Because even though Moses may have caught a glimpse of the backside of God in a physical way, and maybe there was, I think maybe he was the only one, but maybe there was others that saw angels, but no one sees God until they see Jesus, because Jesus is our Redeemer. And we see the redeeming aspect of God. That means something to us, because that's the only way we can be brought into His presence. Jesus did not come into existence when He was given a physical body. He was here, and He is here, and He will be here. Jesus is the light. Creation. Let me just read these verses quick. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The same Jesus says here that he was foreordained before the foundation of the world for this purpose. He came to redeem us, and it is by him that we are born again. And if we want to have the life of the creation, Jesus was the life of the creation. He was present. He helped create it. And if we want to continue to have this life, we must receive him. Jesus also is the light of mankind. Light is one of the names that's given to Jesus. You'll notice in verse 7 that light is capitalized. Jesus is the light. That's one of his names. And he is our ability to see. Without him, we cannot see. Jesus is as a light on a path at night. You use a flashlight, you turn the light on, you want to see where you go. And it's through Jesus that we understand why we're here and what our purpose in life is and the future. It's through Jesus that we see a way, we understand a way, we comprehend a way to God. He is our light. And I thank God this morning. It says there, understand it. The dart in 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 the dart. clemency. Take away darkness. Object lesson. I told you this light was coming, and here this light is. And when he baptized Jesus, there was more confirmation that this was the Son of God. Verse 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Here's another thought in this passage I wanted to bring out. And that is, there is a breath of Almighty God that comes into the soul of every human being. When in the Garden of Eden, when God created man, he breathed into him the breath of life. That people have with right and wrong. And verse 12, there's another powerful thought here as well. And this is because of Jesus. It says, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When we believe in Jesus, we receive the authority to claim God as our Father. It's another thing that this light does for us. This is what the light does for us today. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation that light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil, For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, this
brings a conflict in our life because we're born with darkness in us, and we grow up with darkness.
We struggle with it. Which believe not. The glorious gospel of Christ. Why didn't Jesus just immediately make us? We walked in all this. We walked in the footprints of the devil. That's what we did. Came.